Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Monday, January 17th, and a very happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day to everyone out there. It's been a while since we recorded, probably about a week and a half, something like that. A lot has happened. Today is a Monday, and so naturally, as Mondays are, there is a new top 25 AP poll out there.
And it's a pretty crazy one. A lot of questionable decisions maybe in this. Some weird storylines, too, that we can get into as well later
Honestly,
on.
The eight people so far this year, I felt like were pretty in line with how I was seeing things. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah. I feel like it's been pretty consistent, even into last year as well, too. It's kind of just been...
Last year was all right, but, you know, there'd be a discrepancy here or there, but that's to be expected. You're not going to have the same top 25 as everyone.
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, this AP poll today just has some wild things in it. Alex, you want to kick it off here?
Yeah, so starting off at 1-2, number one is Gonzaga, which was a bit of a shocker to me, and number two is Auburn. I personally would have had Auburn in at number one.
I also as well.
But I guess the committee, the AP poll, is giving Gonzaga the benefit of the doubt as they have.
Well, maybe not really, because this is defined math. Auburn had received 36 first place votes, and Gonzaga received 25. So if math checks out, we would have Auburn at number one. But there are a little some storylines behind this.
There are two AP voters that are known to be Auburn hater. One of them is known to be an Auburn hater for life. I don't know what he has against Auburn, but he ranked Auburn number six. And it's like, okay, if you're watching college basketball, even in the slightest, you know that Auburn is better than the number six team in the nation. But oh, no, that is not the worst. There was a voter who ranked Auburn number nine in his AP poll. Remember, last AP poll, Auburn was what, number four?
Yeah. Yep.
How do you rank them five spots lower from what they did
what
this
they
week?
Were.
Makes
oh
no
my
sense.
God.
So although Auburn had, as you mentioned, Wesley, 11 more first place votes, because of these two fucking, freaking bums, they are ranked at number two.
And I think the same guy, that's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. Gonzaga has two losses to Auburn's one. Let's start with that.
And they're 16-1.
And they're 16-1. Yeah, exactly.
And Auburn's got quality wins too. They just beat a good LSU team at home. They beat Loyola.
Yep, Alabama as well.
Started Bama.
Well, think about it.
Yep.
They were number four in the last poll, and then they beat a pretty good LSU team, I would say. Ranked them number nine. Like, I feel like some of these voters need to be held accountable because this AP poll.
I feel like all these voters that are anti-Auburn just hate Bruce Pearl.
They're basing that off of like the allegations that are going around Bruce Pearl, maybe about the self-imposed ban last year, all that kind of stuff. I think that's getting into their head. That's getting into their head.
You want to hear my guess?
What is it?
I think that some of these voters literally don't watch college basketball and just basically just put whatever poll he had the week before. Hey, I'll throw it out there again.
So they're like the person in your bracket pool that picks on based off their favorite jersey. Or like team name.
Once again, I have no evidence behind this. But,
that's a pure theory.
But, for example, last year, I know that there was someone who completely botched a ranking. And they came out later and they're like, oh, sorry, I didn't know that game happened.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
There was a random team that got one vote that everybody was like, what the heck? It was like some really bad team.
But the point is, and I don't want to get too into these AP voters, because at the end of the day, does the AP poll really matter? No.
No.
But it's like, if this is going to be your job and you're going to have this, you know, prestigious honor of ranking the top 25 teams, at least take it a little bit seriously, in my opinion.
Exactly. I think a lot of people would kill to have that opportunity.
We would,
Yeah, of course. And here people are voting for wrong teams sometimes and holding grudges because who knows what, and not actually like looking at the basketball being played, which is kind of ridiculous to me.
Yep, coming in at number three, Arizona. Now, I like this ranking. I think this is a great ranking for Arizona.
I agree.
You know, there were three Pac-12 teams in the top 10 a week ago, and Arizona was the one team to not suffer a loss, so glad to see them getting the recognition they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got, this is where it gets interesting. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 goes Purdue, Baylor, Duke, Kansas, Wisconsin. And what's interesting about that is Purdue's at number 4, Wisconsin at 8. Wisconsin already beat Purdue.
Correct.
On the road.
And these rankings are not taking into account a game that just happened today where Purdue got a great win on the road against
Illinois. On the
road
against Illinois, yes.
In double OT. But that's not taking into account these rankings.
Next week, maybe Purdue.
Yeah, maybe Purdue's ahead of Wisconsin, but
I don't really know how I feel about this either.
And I don't want to get into these specific weird voters, but the person who had Auburn at number 9 on his ballot had Wisconsin at 23.
Okay, this guy stinks.
This
it's
guy
ridiculous.
Is
he should be kicked off.
Terrible. He should be kicked off the AP committee. And once again, I don't want to exaggerate, but How can you look at Wisconsin and say they're the 23rd best team in the nation when they are tied for the most quadrant one wins exactly. in America? I don't get it.
That's ridiculous. It's terrible.
And as you mentioned, Wisconsin beat Purdue head to head, has more quadrant one wins. Yeah. And it's like, okay, maybe they only have one star in Johnny Davis and the rest of the players aren't really household names. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
The team is winning and they're getting good wins on the road at home against great Big Ten opponents. I mean, like, what else can you ask for them? They have one loss. They have two losses this year. One of them is questionable at best because they didn't have a top five player in the country in Johnny Davis when they lost to Providence. They lost to Providence by two without Johnny Davis.
This is a little bit of a homer take, but in my mind, that loss doesn't count. No Johnny Davis doesn't count.
I don't know.
The loss to Ohio State, obviously.
I don't necessarily agree.
I'm kind of kidding, clearly. But I feel like it shows that they're still a pretty darn well-rounded team, especially considering that was one of the first games.
And they were trying to find their identity. They had no identity at that point. They didn't know who was going to be their guy.
No Johnny Davis,
really.
It's not like Providence is a bad team.
Exactly. Providence is a good team, too.
But
so.
Another real story of the teams you just mentioned, Baylor dropping four spots to number five. They were the number one team.
They were. Two straight losses.
Two straight.
I don't mind them at five. I think they should be maybe a little bit lower because they had two straight home losses.
And Oklahoma State.
To a decent, I guess, Oak State team.
That is not even tournament eligible.
But yeah, two home losses. The first back-to-back home losses under Scott Drew in 3 years.
And it's their first two of the season.
Some struggles for Baylor.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure we'll get into it. But what do you guys think is happening to this Baylor team right now? What gives?
If I'm going to be honest, I don't think they played enough competition to start the season. So everybody thought they were incredible. Sure, they picked up a nice win against Nova when they held them to, 35? Something like that. That was
holding
a great win.
Holding Nova to 35.
That was a great win.
To scoff at.
But they kind of had – they played teams recently as like Elkhorn State, Northwestern State. TCU, I think, is not that good. Obviously, I mean, whatever. But they did get a nice win against Iowa State. I do have to give them credit for that. I just think – I don't think they need a guy to go to. Like they had last year in Jared Butler, or even Davion Mitchell, kind of is the same way. Not Donovan Mitchell.
I agree with you, Wesley. I think their defense is always going to be
it's
there.
Always
defense
it's always
travels.
Good.
They'll get their defense on the road. I think they have a lot of great players, but they need one person to step up and hit the big shot when they need it.
Like, and this is what I was worried about preseason
coming in.
I was not very high on Baylor preseason. I knew that they had that winning pedigree. I knew that they had that winning coach and Scott Drew. And as you said, their defense is always going to be there. They'll travel anywhere in the country. But they don't have, you know, that Davion Mitchell, that guy that they can just go to when they need him.
And it should be James Akinjo, probably.
I disagree strongly.
You think it should be Flagler?
I think Flagler or Cryer, one of the two. But I don't think it should be Akinjo because he is generally a pass-first guard.
That's fair.
I don't think he's
in their last two
necessarily
games.
Necessarily the best on the team at creating his
he's
own
He's 6
shot.
Of 22 in their last two games,
I think Flagler needs to be that guy, personally.
And he, I mean, he had a great game against Texas Tech. He had an awful game, 1 of 10 from the field against Oak State. We'll get into that probably later, but...
But are we too worried about this Baylor team?
Nope.
No, Big
12 is the toughest conference in college basketball.
Yes. Yeah, I would say it's... I'm not sounding the alarms by any means, but definitely something I'm keeping an eye on.
They're not the number one team in the country. I'm just based off these past two games. Yeah. Like they had me for the first 15, but I don't think I would have them anywhere near. Even if they got hot and kind of went on a streak here, I wouldn't put them at one. I don't think they're the best. Mm-hmm.
All right, 6-7, Duke, Kansas. I think that's fine there. Now 9, UCLA after losing at home to Oregon this week. And don't look now, but Oregon.
Oregon is two straight.
Two top five road wins.
What did we say about Oregon earlier in the year? They started off terribly, and we said, what has Oregon done few years?
Kind of what they did last year.
Very, very slow.
And get hot at the right time.
They get hot.
They might be getting hot too early this year.
They're getting healthier, too, which was the same thing last year. Nafale Dante's back down low for them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about UCLA dropping 8 spots, though.
They dropped 6.
Sorry.
I think it's reasonable.
Three to eight.
I think it's reasonable as well. Like, are you going to put them ahead of Wisconsin?
No. Absolutely not. No way. But Wisconsin should also be higher, to be fair.
Wisconsin should be a top five team, but...
It is what it is.
Okay, 10, 11, 12. Houston, Nova, Kentucky rounds it out at 12 after a very, very impressive win against Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was domination.
What did they shoot, like 80% from the field?
In the first half.
In the first half.
I think it was
half,
a record,
like 79.
Yeah.
But even at the end of the game, it was still a pretty high percentage.
Right. Yeah. They destroyed them. That was a great performance by them. They put up 107 on a pretty – Tennessee's normally a defensive oriented team.
I this would year, say. I would say less
normally,
so.
Less so, but normally
but still, it's definitely part of their identity.
Yeah, and Kentucky shot 68% from the field, so that's all you need feel to it.
That's
so,
the Kentucky team people are kind of looking at preseason.
I agree.
So good to
I
see
agree.
Them back.
Yep.
Yep, and talking about defensive teams, LSU at 13, Sparty 14, Iowa State 15.
A lot of teams came out of nowhere. LSU is one of the top teams that kind of, not came out of nowhere, but just unexpected. Like who would have thought LSU is the top 15 team in the country preseason?
Yep, I mean, we talked about it. They lost to Auburn a little while back, which is not a bad loss by any means. On Saturday, they lost at home to a down Arkansas team, Arkansas team that we've known to be pretty good in recent years.
Yeah, I feel like this LSU team is just pretty up and down.
Yeah. They're 15-2, I think.
The one bad loss and they were missing their point guard. That's always tough. But LSU is one of the deepest teams in college basketball and can defend on any team.
Yeah. And Xavier Pinson is their best player, honestly, not just their point guard. He is their best player. So that's a huge loss for them.
But then talk about bad losses. Michigan State losing at home to Northwestern. What are we doing,
that's
guys?
That's bad. That's not good.
Can't have that.
Not good for a Badger resume, maybe, because they Badgers play on this Friday. So if they can pick up a win.
Trap game?
No, I don't think it's. Well, it's not a trap game. Michigan State's still 14.
At the Kohl Center, though.
That's not a trap game. You got to be unranked for it to be a trap game.
I didn't get a chance to watch this game, but I don't know how a Tom Izzo-led team loses can come out and lose to Northwestern. They must have just been so slow.
You just can't lose to the likes of Chase Audige. Like, that's just unacceptable.
Still
there.
Yep.
Oh.
That's crazy.
Yep. Iowa State stays at 15. Fine with that. I think you guys are as well.
The metrics might say otherwise, but.
Yep. USC, the big drop of the week, down 11 after back-to-back losses.
Yeah. To Oregon and Stanford, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yep.
USC was undefeated last week, and them and Baylor, they were the last two undefeated teams. So we now have zero undefeated teams in college basketball.
Crazy stuff. I think I liked this USC team where they were going, but I think they're another team that really. I mean, they're good, but they hadn't played anybody and kind of just snuck their way up just because they were undefeated to the number five spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They run into some competition in Oregon. I think Oregon is the first competent team they've played. Because they had played no Pac-12 teams, and their out-of-conference schedule was terrible. They were scheduling games like Utah, Temple, St. Joseph's. Like, give me a break. Like, are we serious now? I don't know.
Yeah, so two tough losses for SC. I still think they're a decent team. And then our big riser up 8 spots from 25 to 17 is Illinois.
As where they should be.
Yeah. Yep.
This team was just starting off cold in the beginning of the year because they didn't have their best player in the beginning. Started off 2-2 on the season.
And then they lost Curbelo for a little while.
Exactly.
They've just kind of been
going. They're getting healthy now.
And I'm going to hit you with a hot take. I think a healthy Illinois team is better than 17.
I think a healthy Illinois team is a top 10 team.
I agree. Yep. I agree.
100%.
Obviously, you know, the polls rank them on your resume, not what they think you're going to be.
Exactly.
But I'm just providing a little insight into the future. I think
deep,
Illinois
deep down
is a top
the line,
10 team.
And they're going to have a lot of opportunities in a strong Big Ten with Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Purdue. Mm-hmm. To pick up big wins down the stretch. So, I mean, they could easily find their way into the top 10.
Yep, coming in at 18, 19, 20, we got Texas Tech, Ohio State, and Xavier.
I think Xavier's kind of been flying under the radar. Like, I mean, they've just kind of been holding the round 20 for
a
while.
I mean, I watched probably too much Xavier basketball, and I don't know. I don't think they're the 20th best team in the country.
Really? I haven't watched too many Xavier
games myself. I just
think
they're mid at best.
But they have had some nice wins.
You just think they're a 5 seed that you're just going to pick against?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll finish.
They always find their ways into 5 seeds, I feel like.
But they don't have that go-to guy like a J.P. Makura that they used to. Then another Big East team at 21, Providence. They've had a great season so far. 22, Loyola.
Finally
in the rankings. Yep.
Finally ranked, yep. Two losses.
They just got a culture there at Loyola. Like, even though Porter Moser this year, they're still a top 25 team. Impressive stuff.
They're a two-loss team with losses to Michigan State and Auburn. So pretty much number one team in the country and a top 15.
And they played both of those teams very good.
And what are their best wins of the year?
And they don't really have that many wins. I mean, they got a win against DePaul.
It's actually not a bad win.
Yeah, that's not a bad win. That's probably, honestly, their best win. They got a win against San Francisco as well, who was, I believe, 13-1 at that time.
San Francisco,
that
right
was
now,
a good
will
win.
They would make the tourney.
So they're beating the teams that, you know, that's on their schedule.
You look at the losses to Sparty by 2 and Auburn by 9, and I watched that game. It was closer than 9 points. A defensive-led team again. I mean, Loyola is just very well-rounded. We know what they can do in March. I would not want to see this team.
So, obviously, Porter Moser is a huge loss to them, but this just shows that it's a culture. Yeah. It's a Loyola culture, not – the coach obviously means something, too, but, like –
especially with the job Porter Moser is doing this year
in Oklahoma. Exactly. And I think he's in running
with minimal talent.
Exactly, minimal talent. He's got to get his recruits in there before anybody really says anything, but they're having a nice season as well.
Now, rounding out the top 25, we got Texas at 23, Tennessee at 24, and UConn sneaks in for the final spot at 25.
Your Huskies.
I like UConn. They've kind of dealt disappointed with
a little bit, but they had injuries, a lot of injuries.
And COVID. UConn's fine. But Texas and Tennessee, I don't know what you guys think about these two teams, but I hate both of these teams.
I hate Tennessee. Here's the thing. Sure.
I've been holding out hope for Texas, but I'm out of excuses for them, sort of. It's like, I need to see something, Texas. You have so much talent, so much depth, especially at the guard position, but show me something.
Yeah, I think they're missing a dominant big man, personally.
They haven't had that in years, though, to be fair. Jericho Sims was not a dominant big man last year.
Jericho Sims was better than what they have now.
Well, yes, that is, that's fair.
I would argue he's better than Disu and Christian Bishop down low.
But Christian, I know, but that Christian Bishop looked so good on Creighton last year. Not so good, obviously, here's the thing, but he looked pretty good on Creighton. I feel like
our view of Christian Bishop is a little bit inflated by his March Madness performance.
Yes.
That's when he really stepped up.
He really did step up. And I think I don't know if they just don't know how to use him and how Chris Beard is just... But, like, it's so long. We're already, like, what, 15, 16 games in the season? Like, give me a break. It's too, like, he's got to figure it out by now.
I couldn't agree more. I need to see something out of Texas. I've kind of been supporting them a lot of the year. But, hey, you know, I'm man enough to admit.
Now's the time. Exactly. Yeah, they're kind of.
Show me something, Texas.
They have all the talent in the world. I mean, they have.
That's not up for debate.
That's not up for debate. They have a top eight talent team in the country, but they can't put it together.
Yep, and then just some other teams receiving votes. Somehow BYU got 50 votes. I hate BYU. They lost to Utah Valley earlier in the season. Davidson receiving 34 votes. This is a team that's flying under the radar. A mid-major team that I like. Bama, San Diego State, and Miami receiving 21 votes after they beat Duke.
And Iowa just outside at 26 with 56 votes. So the Keegan Murray-led Hawkeyes, they're kind of creeping their way near the top 25. I think they'll probably get there next week. If I had to guess, I think they'll probably sneak in ahead of Tennessee, hopefully, or Texas or UConn. So that would be good to see them finally in the top 25. Would that be their first crack into it? I don't think
because they weren't preseason.
Either. Yeah. Yep.
All right, so that's about it for our AP Top 25 breakdown.
Where are we hopping into this game recap? Because we probably don't want to go back like 10 days because that's, at this point, ancient history. So where should we start at?
We can start on that Monday, January 10th.
Works for me.
Week ago, we can start there. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of cancellations still.
Slowing down a little bit.
It is slowing down, that's fair. And not many cancellations, at least. It's more postponements. Now, obviously, they don't cancel games anymore, which is good. But on that Monday, January 10th, there was nothing. So then we can move on to the Tuesday, January 11th, and kick it off with USC-Stanford. This is kind of the beginning of the USC fall from heaven, where Stanford picks up a win 75-69 at home. So defending their home court and picking up a huge win against I think they were at that time number 5 in the country, USC Trojans.
Yeah, USC had an off shooting night and their defense couldn't hold them. Credit to Stanford. I think USC still looking for a true 5, personally.
As in like a big man?
Yep, as in a good big.
How do you think about, what do you feel about Isaiah Mobley? Do you not?
I wouldn't say he's a true 5.
You think he's a 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's more of a 4.
That's fair. I mean, it's a good win for Stanford, I guess. I don't really.
It's Stanford. Like, it's Stanford. What are we doing here, guys?
They're going to be a 500.
The only team that matters is USC.
Okay. Obviously. Yeah.
Stanford is always they're an NIT team every year. You can pencil them.
Yeah, that's fair.
As an NIT team every year.
Just like Virginia these years. Virginia's a pencil in NIT team. Penn State picks up a huge road win again, or home win against Rutgers, 66-49. A bad performance for Rutgers in the middle of a hot streak, honestly.
I know. It was a bad loss. Here's the thing. Penn State is bad. I'm not going to sit here and say they're good, but Again, the game before this, they played Purdue, and they kept it within about, I don't know, 6-7 points Purdue.
Yeah.
So they're not as they're not atrocious. They're not atrocious.
They are the poopy butt crack of the Big Ten, though.
Yes, but bad loss.
No, Rutgers. Nebraska ball is still the worst.
I agree. Nebraska ball is winless. Nebraska ball is winless.
Oh, it's close.
But there's
no
way around it. This is a bad loss for Rutgers. Yep. I mean, you're putting up 49 points against Penn State.
The only person that played worth a darn was Cliff in this one with 12-12.
Miles Dredd didn't even make a single field goal. Like, come on.
But John Arar had 16-6. The absolute menace in the paint. But still a bad loss for Rutgers. But they
bounce back.
They do bounce back. That is fair to say.
No worries.
Texas Tech takes down at the time, the number one team Baylor on the road, 65-62. That was an unbeaten Baylor team before this loss.
This Texas Tech team is so darn gritty.
They're so
How can you not like this Texas Tech team?
But this Texas Tech team is so gritty, but so weird. Like, they pick up this win, and then we'll get into it later.
The other one later.
They gain their best player back and lose to a terrible team. Like, I don't get it.
It's hard.
This is always how Texas Tech
has
been. To really
get a grip on Texas Tech.
But it's been this way for 3 years. You never know how to get a grip on them. You don't know.
It has, but it hasn't been like this, in my opinion.
No, not this bad, but it's always been like they get these great wins and then they lose bad games. It's just kind of been like, at least the past few years, I felt that.
And this one was just a good team win for Texas Tech. I mean, five guys in double figures.
Yeah, shooting
51%.
Kevin McCullough was a difference maker in this one. He was injured too. This was his first game back.
Yes, he came off the bench.
They
played
him.
31 points off the bench, 12 points. He played great.
Yeah, they needed him back. He's their secondary piece behind Terrence Shannon, and obviously he needed to step into that role. And it was just a whole team performance. 4 out of 5 starters were in double figures, and you could honestly consider Kevin McCullough a starter because he played almost the most minutes. So
yeah.
Five guys in double figures for Texas Tech, that's just a great performance for them.
I also really, really like this Texas Tech backcourt. We talk about Kevin O'Banner in the front court. But Clarence Nadolny and Adonis Arms,
yes, they're
both
sneaky.
Stepped up big time and are really good for this Texas Tech team.
I don't think they're really good. I just think they play well as a team. Like they don't like try and take over the moment too much. I think they're more of a team backcourt, if I'm being honest. There's no like one guy. I think they are solid players, but there's no star power.
They were 12-19 from the floor with 25 points.
Yeah, they'd step up. Big moments stepping up.
And that was obviously Baylor suffering their first loss.
Yes, and then that dropped them down. One of the two games that dropped them down to their 5 spot. Marquette picks up a home win against DePaul, 87-76. DePaul's actually not that bad this year. I mean,
they're not great, but
they're not the worst of the worst in the Big East. Who is the worst of the worst in the Big East?
It's DePaul.
It is?
But really? Maybe Butler.
But I think it's Butler. I think DePaul's got
Butler. This has been DePaul the last 2 years. It's like they run through
out of conference.
Because they always schedule a very easy out of conference.
Yeah, and then they just tactical get play by them. In the Big East.
Correct. I would tip of the cap.
This was
Marquette's third straight win. All I'm going to say is look out. Marquette's
I agree. Marquette's getting hot right now.
Also,
I couldn't agree more.
Another note for DePaul. Yorani, 16-11 in this one. The three-finger menace.
Woo!
So
he is a menace. He's been at like 4 different colleges at this point.
Yep.
He's a yearly transfer kind of player.
He's always moving around.
Yeah.
Syracuse picks up a win, 77-61.
Kind of irrelevant for this Q's team.
I know exactly. This Q's team is kind of they.
Yeah, we say that now, but they might find a way to sneak in.
You never
they
know.
Will
you can't
be on the bubble. Q's, they will be on the bubble.
That's
just a fact.
Q's being on the bubble.
That is a fact. Kansas picks up a great win at home against Iowa State, 62-61. Iowa State keeping it close. They've done all year. No matter if they lose a game, they're losing by less than 5, I feel like.
Alex, you mentioned something the other day about Iowa State, how
the metrics
absolutely hate Iowa State. Do you want to talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, it's like Marquette. You look at basically every game they play. They're in games you would think they'd be favored. Obviously not this one. They won't be favored on the road. But
they're still
big underdogs.
13
And you look
point
at
dogs?
Like things like the BPI Power Index now. Obviously, I don't. Yeah. Really look into it that much, but it gives them like a 10% chance to win, and I think this is a really good Iowa State team.
And they've proven it too. It's not like
they've just beaten up
on
bad teams.
They played Kansas good. If it wasn't for DeJuan Harris or however you pronounce his name driving away with like 10 seconds left, they win this game. Iowa State's always there with a chance to win.
And the fact that they've been underdogs at home against mediocre to decent teams. Like, not even like
Texas.
Exactly.
Their most recent game.
They were three and a half, 4 point dogs at home.
Why do we think that is? Because these metrics measure efficiency.
I don't, I like
most of the time.
Vegas always knows, but the entire year they've been wrong on Iowa State.
I just don't get why. Like, you think after a while you'd understand.
Maybe they're looking back at that 2-22 year last year.
Maybe they're stuck in the past. Who knows? But it's just kind of weird. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, it's weird how they're always been underdogs at home, away, and all the lines seem pretty skewed, not in their favor.
In my opinion, it's just good to see Iowa State being good in the Big 12 again, because they're a nice staple of college basketball.
They're a fun team, too.
I feel like this was a really fun game. I love the Brockington-Agbaji matchup in this one.
Yeah. Both best players matching up against each other. Texas picks up a win against Oklahoma, 66-52. Illinois beats Nebraska 81-71. And then Auburn picks up a great win on the road against Alabama, 81-77. That's kind of the win that should have propelled Auburn to number one following some losses by teams ahead of
I
them.
I tend to agree.
But here we
but
are.
But there are some AP voters AP that voters. Don't know what's up and what's down. So
here we are with
this
that.
Bama team is easily the most confusing team in college
I agree.
Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down.
Yeah.
The games where they come out and you see JD Davison and all those guys, and you're like, whoa, this Bama team's pretty good. But then they have games where it's not so much.
Yeah. I mean, Javon Quinterly and Jaden Shackelford, I think, were combined 8 of 33. That's
not going to get done.
My math is correct. That's pretty bad. Those are their two best players combined, 4 of 18 from 3.
Oh,
the team shot 35% from the field. You're not going to win many games. I'm kind of surprised that Bama hung around and only lost by 4. I mean, this game went down to the wire. Mm-hmm. But Jabari Smith was the X factor for Auburn, 25-7. I mean, good luck stopping that. No chance. And then to cap off the night, West Virginia picks up a good win against Oklahoma State, 70-60.
West Virginia did receive some votes.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
I think
about 20.
Yeah, I think they were in the middle of the pack in votes. West Virginia is kind of, I don't want to say flying under the radar, but they're a pretty talented team. I mean, they know they
lost.
Alex,
you got to like West Virginia getting wins, considering that just bolsters Marquette's resume.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I love it. I love to see
I know
it.
The game.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yep, exactly.
But I think this West Virginia team is kind of sneaking under the radar. I mean, they lost Derek Culver. They did obviously lose McBride, but
and Sheba.
But that was before the
mid-season
last year. No, that was like beginning of the season. I thought they had Sheba
early.
Yeah.
Season.
I'll be sure to keep my eyes peeled for him.
Yeah, keep an eye on him. But that wraps up the games from Tuesday. Now moving into Wednesday, Villanova picks up a great road win against number 17 Xavier, 64-60.
Classic Big East matchup here.
Yep. Both teams around the mid 15 to 20 range of the rankings. I think Nova, I don't really know how to think of this team, because obviously coming into the season, what were they, 4? Somewhere around there. They were high up
there.
Yeah,
they were
there. 4. They were high up. They have all this talent, and they have a great coach. I don't know. They couldn't put it together at the beginning of Big East play. And in some of the out-of-conference games.
I don't know. They've had one loss in Big East play, and it was their first game. They're on a 6-game win streak.
That's fair.
I think
they're
starting
now
to put it together.
I think it's kind of expected. I would hope they would, because they have all this talent. I think they can be a top 10, top 8 team in the country with all the talent they have, and with obviously
I would agree.
Jay Wright at the helm. So.
Yeah, Nova didn't play too well in this one, but still able to get the win.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Gillespie was 2 of 11 from 3, and they still won, so.
Yeah, that's a good win to win when you're at your worst. Michigan State picks up a win, 71-69. I feel like Michigan State, I know they were number 10 in the country, but I feel like they're not the 10th best team in the country. Obviously, they're down to 14 now, but I don't even feel like they're that. Like, they just, like, feel uninspiring to me. I don't know why that is. Just they're not blowing teams out. They don't really have a star player. But it's obviously after that loss to Northwestern, which we'll move on and talk about later. But I don't really know.
Well, this was the game where Joey Hauser hit that buzzer beater, right?
Yeah, I believe that's correct. I just feel uninspired by this Michigan State team. I don't know
why. We'll see. I mean, obviously, as you said, they're coming to the Kohl Center this Friday. So
we'll see what happens there. That's going to be a huge pivotal game for both teams, honestly.
Yeah.
So LSU picks up a road win. 64-58 against a solid Florida team. LSU is another team kind of flying under the radar. No one really expected much, but they've crept their way into the top 15.
Yeah.
And
And I'll give LSU some credit.
I've seen LSU on a high two line. I've even seen them as a low, like the last one seed in some brackets.
Okay. Last one seed is wildly absurd in my opinion.
That's ridiculous. There is no way that that should happen. None.
15-1 before their loss on Saturday to Arkansas with some really nice wins.
But they did lose to Arkansas.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
I don't know how you're just standing by this one here, Alex. I don't know what you're doing here.
I don't know. Their resume is very nice, besides this loss recently on Saturday.
Okay.
Colorado State picks up a win 77-72 against Utah State. Sadly, the Hokies lose to Virginia. I did not want to have to say this, but the Hokies lose to Virginia Cavaliers 54-52. Kind of grinds my gears because I kind of like Virginia Tech, and I also really hate Virginia. So it's kind of just a total lose-lose.
Yep.
UConn has to go to OT to beat St. John's 86-78. The Johnnies, they have some NBA talent on that team, but I don't really know if are they a tournament team, Alex? What do you think about that? You don't think they're
probably not. Team? Their team is basically Julian Champagny. Posh has been a little disappointing this year, I would say. So basically, if you shut down Champagne, you should be able to beat the Johnnies.
That's fair. He is a top pick, he's a first round pick.
But you would kind of want to see the Johnnies in tournament to see what Champagne could do. You know,
yeah. I agree. But that wraps up the games Wednesday. Then moving into Thursday, DePaul picks up a great home win, 96-92 in regulation. That's a lot of points.
That is a no defense. You would think Iowa was.
Not playing this game. It was DePaul versus Seton Hall. That's a great win for DePaul. You know, boost their Big East resume for their NIT performance, maybe. We'll see if they can sneak into the NIT.
But I mean,
bad
it's
loss
not
for
like,
Seton Hall, though.
I'm not going to sit here and say the team shot bad because they didn't. But for how high scoring of a game this was, you would think the field goal percentages would be a little higher. Than
in the 50s?
45 and 40%.
Yeah, you think it'd
Seton
be in
Hall
the 50s.
Seton Hall lost this game because they were without their big shot blocker. Ike Obiagu was averaging like 4 blocks a game.
That's pretty impressive to do that.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Anytime you have 2 blocks, well, you're having 6 blocks a game. That's crazy.
Yeah, credit to DePaul. 2 big injuries in this game. Bryce Aiken left late in like the second half in crunch time, and Javon Freeman Liberty, DePaul's best player, left early in the second half.
Yeah.
That's a tough loss for both teams there. Wisconsin picks up another good home win against Ohio State, 78-68. And the story of this game was not Johnny Davis. It was actually the other two players, Tyler Wall and Brad Davison. Tyler Wall obviously is the third best scorer on the team, but he is coming into his own.
He continues to be one of the most underrated players, honestly, in the nation.
Yep. He's incredibly underrated. This game he had 27-6. He passed the ball incredibly.
Here's
this game,
what I love.
And they need that.
Here's what I love about Tyler Wall. When you give him the ball in the post, his center of gravity is so low to the ground that he just finds ways to get the ball in the basket. And it's so underrated. I can't stress this enough. Tyler Wall is one of the most underrated players in the nation. And I think this is really a testament to this Badger team as a whole. When Johnny Davis has an off night, you know, shooting 4 of 18 from the field.
Yeah.
If other guys like Wall and Davison can step up and still beat a quality Ohio State team, good news.
Johnny shoots 4 of 18, but he still draws so much attention.
Clearly.
Like, it just makes the game so much easier for everyone around him.
Yeah, because guys are going to obviously gravitate towards him. Sometimes they'll send double teams at him, and guys love easier shots. Like, Brad's getting way more open shots this year than he has last year, which is kind of crazy to think about that. Like,
and it's like Wall in the paint when he catches it down there. He's a really good post player. Normally you would at least show a second defender, but you can't do that with a slasher like Johnny.
Tyler Wall's best ability is he catches the ball so low that he doesn't have to work that many moves to get the ball up.
That's a sign of a good big man.
It is. A lot of guys catch it kind of high and back. Like, Kofi can back his way with ease. But a lot of guys catch high and then find their way.
Like that.
He's not built like that, so he has to work with his size.
He's very
skilled. He catches low. He's very skilled.
Do your work before you catch the ball.
And he hit a couple. Right. Was it this game that he had a couple threes, or was it the next game? Was it this game he had a couple threes? I think he was 2 of 4 from three or something like that. I think that's his first made three in months.
Meanwhile,
maybe.
Carter Gilmore still had 0 points.
And how many minutes? Can we minute check?
7 minutes. He did attempt a three, though.
He did attempt a three.
He did have an assist.
Okay. Filling up the stat sheet. Filling up the stat sheet. The stat sheet.
I mean, he's averaging 10 minutes in one
point. One of the worst players in the nation.
The fact that he sees tech is ridiculous.
He could play for Arkansas Pine Bluff and still average like 3 points a game.
It's kind of mind-boggling that he is actually seeing the court. Crazy stuff. Iowa at home picks up a great win, honestly, against Indiana, 83-74. Iowa's just, they're kind of cruising, honestly. I mean, they have Keegan Murray, obviously, who is a top player in the country. But this game was all about Chris Murray, his brother, who I believe is a sophomore freshman. He had 29 points, 12 of 18 from the field, and 11 rebounds for Chris Murray this game.
He's been playing a lot better for Iowa
recently. He has. He had a sneaky game when they played Wisconsin, too, a week and a half
ago. Getting more minutes as of late, too.
Yeah. I think he's really something to watch out for. That dynamic duo, the brother duo, is kind of what's carrying Iowa. Jordan Bohannon sucks as far as I'm concerned. He's terrible.
Like, you guys can talk about Geo Baker's regression all you want, but Bohannon's has been far worse.
Bohannon's bad. I mean, he gets worse every year. Mm-hmm. I think he used to be really good. He used to be fun to watch.
He
used to be a fun 3-point shooter to watch, but my God, is it falling apart. Oregon then hands UCLA, I believe, their second loss of the season in this game, 84-81 in overtime. Alex, before the game, did say, watch out for Oregon money line in this game, and it came true. Oregon picks up the win. Oh, It was the next one. But Oregon gets this. This is a great
win. And this is what we were talking about. Oregon is starting to heat up as a team, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Jacob Young gets cooking, former Rutgers player, with 23 points.
I think it is a whole team effort here. I think that this Oregon team itself, they're coming into their own. But still impressive for Oregon to win, shooting 31% from three. I mean, they did have 45 rebounds. I mean, so did UCLA, also had 49 rebounds. So a lot of missed shots in this game. UCLA shoots 40% from the field.
Yeah, Oregon had six guys in double figures, though.
They did, yep.
All their power offense.
Yep. They're pretty pretty firepower offense. Gonzaga then picks up a win against BYU, 110-84. Does Gonzaga have any competition? Because I thought BYU was maybe, you know, like gonna possibly give them a run for money in the West.
No, because BYU was literally Alex Barcelo and nobody else.
That's San fair. Fran's got a chance.
I think that's a seriously chance. The best chance, because St. Mary's stinks. Clearly BYU stinks.
St. Mary's, BYU, and San Fran are all bubble teams.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
If you could just combine them into one, they'd have a formidable opponent.
I agree. Yeah, I was thinking about
this. You're unable to do this, though.
I was thinking about this morning. The Zags, they have a good chance to win out and just finish as number one overall.
I feel like we say this every single year.
Yep.
It's like, oh, the Zags are probably going to win out now.
But it kind of does.
And it's true. It's like they'll either win out or lose one or two. It happens every year.
Will the Zags ever change conferences?
They should.
I think eventually, let's say 10 years down the line.
Wow! That is a long ways away.
I think they need to get in the Pac-12.
Changing, well, that's harder than you realize when you think that it's not just basketball, it's all other sports.
I understand.
Yes.
I just think that if their dynasty, I don't want to call it dynasty, they haven't won yet, but if their dominance continues for, you know, another decade, or you guys think shorter, that's fine, then I can see it happening. But I don't see it happening in the next 5 years. I really don't.
Really, yeah. I think that it'd be a great move for them. But to their credit, they always do schedule the good out of conference.
They have to, though. If they didn't, they'd get no respect.
They would probably be a 5 seed every year if they just...
Not a five, but they'd be like a two or three, and like they would just get no respect.
So they do schedule nice out of conference.
You got to schedule those games to bring in the recruits, too.
Yes.
Otherwise, they don't get the national TV attention. Exactly. USC picks up a win against Oregon State, 81-71, and Arizona closes out the night with a 76-55 win over Colorado. And that wraps up the games from Thursday. Moving into Friday, Purdue picks up a 30-point win, 92-65, against Nebraska ball.
Worst team in the Big Ten.
They do stink.
I'll say it.
I can agree with that, but I would probably say Penn State.
Worse than Penn State.
Dude, how can you even say that?
I don't know. I think it's pretty close.
Penn State has 3 wins in the Big Ten. They're 3-4. So Nebraska is 0-8.
Try to tell you guys.
Maryland has 1 win. Michigan has 1 win.
Maryland is bad.
Minnesota has 1 win in the Big Ten.
Yes. Maryland does stink too.
I kind of wish Maryland was better because now I feel like
Turgeon
slurpers are being proven correct, and I'm just not okay with that.
Turgeon slurpers. Oh, are there even any Turgeon slurpers out there?
His family, probably.
Yeah, that's terrible. He is a terrible coach, and Maryland needs to step it up in spite of Mark Turgeon. Illinois picks up a win against Michigan, which is now honestly not even that good of a win because Michigan's
We can talk about their preseason pedigree. No, it doesn't matter.
Michigan's preseason pedigree lasted for about 3 weeks. Yeah, and then the band-aid was ripped off.
And then, like, after those 3 weeks, it's like you can mention it, but people wouldn't really care. Now it's like nobody cares.
Yeah, the band-aid got ripped off, and now it's over on that.
Yep.
Then we move into Saturday, January 15th. Northwestern kicks it off with a great win for them and an atrocious loss for Michigan State. Michigan State at home loses 64-62.
Can't have that.
Just can't happen. I don't know how they only dropped four spots.
My boy Chase Audige.
Chase Audige. How many 14
points.
Ooh. Boo-Booey?
Coolest name. And I think Chase Audige, I'm going to hit you with a hot take, is a cooler name than Boo-Booey.
Really?
It just rolls off the tongue. Chase Audige.
Now I got to think about this.
My vote is for Boo-Booey. 100%.
Are you saying on the team or in all the college buckets?
For what? Coolest name?
No, just between Boo-Booey or Chase Audige.
Boo-Booey. 100%. Boo-Booey.
I go Boo-Booey too.
That's a bad take.
It just kind of like you can just rattle off real quick and it sounds pretty smooth to me. I'm going Boo-Booey. Xavier picks up a win against Creighton, an unranked Creighton now, 80-73.
Alex, are you happy to see the fall of Creighton?
Dude, I just don't like either of these teams. I don't know what it is.
You hated Creighton really bad at the beginning of the year. But
they're both overrated.
I don't know. Creighton really didn't have any expectations, if I'm being honest, though. I mean, they didn't really have any talent.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact they got ranked is kind of a W for them, if I'm being honest. So I consider
take it
a success.
When you need them.
Yeah, take it. Not much, but it's honest work. Kansas State picks up a home win against Texas Tech. A bad loss right after Texas Tech beats Baylor.
It's like,
they lose to Kansas State.
Great win.
By 11.
Is Mike McGurl still doing his thing at K-State?
Oh, dude.
What
oh,
about Barry
yeah,
Brown? Is Barry Brown still here?
He came off the bench and he dropped 10 points, double
four
figures.
Or five from the
of course.
Floor. What a stud.
Of course he shows up for the Texas Tech game. Of course he does.
Big time players show up in big time games.
No, props to K-State. Got him top 75 in that.
And Terrence Shannon.
Q1 win for Marquette.
Terrence Shannon is now back in the lineup and they lose to Kansas State.
It's just
what
vintage,
are the odds?
Vintage TTU. You never know what you're going to get.
Exactly. You never know. Anything can happen, but bad loss for Texas Tech. Marquette picks up a great win against Seton Hall, 73-72, at the Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee.
Seton Hall dropping two straight.
Marquette's arguably the hottest team in the Big East right now. It's them or Nova, and they'll square off on Wednesday. Should be interesting.
And it appears as if Mr. Morcell is back on his offensive game.
Yeah.
Dropping 26.
The thing about Marquette is you never know who's going to beat you. Jay Lou's always consistent.
Mm-hmm. That's the only offensive weapon that's consistent.
That's a given. TK has been playing. Tyler Kolek's been playing very good recently.
Less turnovers?
Very good. Less turnovers, more assists. Sign of improvement.
Okay. Improvement.
But then scoring-wise, you don't know. Omax dropped 22 the other night. Greg Elliott has had two 20-point games this year.
I agree with everything you're saying, but just getting back to Tyler Kolek, I mean, he did shoot 1 of 7 and drop 2 points. Like, I feel like your arguments with Tyler Kolek is almost like my arguments with Headband Paul. I kind of think it's similar in that regard.
They're very similar players.
They will fill up the stat sheet with assists, and sometimes they'll have efficient shooting nights, but you
mostly
just never know where they're
going to
hit.
Dude,
mostly
Tyler Kolek is a way better passer than Headband Paul.
Okay, but
I don't... Headband Paul's a good passer, dude.
Okay.
Don't sell him short.
Dude, he's averaging 6.4 assists a game.
Okay, Tyler Kolek is a
Headband
great
Paul.
Passer.
That's
but he's
like third in the nation.
Well, great, but he's also a handicap with his shooting. He's shooting 8 shots per game,
Headband
shooting 30%
you know
from the
really
field.
Funny?
What?
Shaka Smart has said multiple times that Tyler Kolek is the best shooter in practice.
I am. Are we serious?
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I know
I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying it's fine.
Well, that's hilarious.
I am absolutely I'm crying over that statement by Shaka. And then we get to the Kentucky win where they scored 107 points in regulation against a top 25 opponent.
Shooting what? Almost 70% from the field?
Kentucky wins 107-79.
Well, I feel like if you're Tennessee, what are you going to do at that point?
If the team's hot, they're hot. Kind of like...
Well,
play better defense. I knew you were going to say that some dumb
Do you let a team shoot 80% and a half on you? How?
Well, I agree to an extent. It's obviously a little bit of both. Defense 100% plays
That's
a part.
That's embarrassing.
But at the same time, sometimes guys are just stroking it.
Exactly.
Nothing you can say.
There's tough, good players hit tough shots sometimes. Sometimes more.
I would argue
but a lot higher
of their
clip.
Shots were very easy shots and that it was just the defense that sucked.
Well, I think once Kentucky was shooting 80% from the field in the first half, Tennessee's the balloon was kind of deflated a little bit. I think they were I think they were just a little bit down in the dumps, and they were like, you know what? It is what it is. This game we might be cooked. So, but good win for Kentucky nonetheless. Duke picks up a win at home against NC State, 88-73, and Kansas blows out West Virginia.
Yeah, you're West Virginia. Here
they are. Oh my God. Losing 85-59 on the road. Kansas is a good team.
Yeah,
though.
West Virginia just has games where they struggle to score.
Yeah.
They're a pretty good defensive team. Obviously not in this one. I mean, Kansas is a pretty good offensive team.
Just a very efficient game from Kansas, honestly. Yeah.
But Kansas is that they'll do that too.
David McCormack finally stepping up.
Yes, finally.
He had been struggling this year.
Well, did he start that game?
He did.
Finally, for the first time in a while. Arkansas also picks up a great win for themselves. Bad loss for LSU. Arkansas wins on the road, 65-58.
First real relevant win for Arkansas.
Correct.
I would say.
Ever this year.
Yep.
Wow. Crazy stuff. That is bananas.
And that's a bad loss for LSU, who Alex said was a one seed in March Madness. Something like that. I forget.
What I was seeing.
It was not his thoughts.
Well, he didn't really take the time out of his day to contradict those thoughts, but whatever. We move.
They had a good resume before this.
They did.
They still
do
have a solid resume,
yeah,
but
a
not a one-seed resume.
This was
still
a
possibly a two-seed resume, in my opinion.
No.
I strongly disagree with that. But I digress. Iowa State picks up a underdog win at home against Texas, 79-70. I think they were four-point dogs. Alex, can you double-check that?
Yeah, I think they're 3.5.
3.5-point dogs. But, like, are we serious, really? Like, Vegas needs to get it right with them, I think. I hope they learned their lesson. I don't really know, though, because there's been, like, probably six games in a row where either Iowa State has covered the spread or just straight up, as underdogs, won the games.
This Texas team, they just don't really know who to put out on the court.
I think Brock Cunningham needs more Texas.
Look at their bench. I mean, they had seven guys come off the bench, and a lot of them got pretty substantial minutes looking at it. I don't know. This Texas team is weird. They need to show me something.
They need to, like, I mean, Ramey and Carr both played 34 and 35 minutes, but it's the bigs that they just rotate bigs so much. It's like, get a guy out there, let him get in the flow of the offense. It's hard to get into the flow when you're constantly coming out. You play 2 minutes and then you get subbed out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are the players supposed
That's
to
fair.
Do?
That's fair. There's too much rotation that they play too many
and
guys.
And it becomes
in the
hard
Texas
for
team.
The guards, too, to get the offense going.
And I'm not saying they have,
and they
to
have
be
too
like,
many guards.
I'm not
too.
Saying they have to be like the Bonnies and only have one guy come off the bench or anything.
Yes.
But still, find your groove.
Get it together, I'd say. Yeah, find it. It's like you're gonna give Chris Beering and say, well, he's got to find his time. But it's like time's passed. Like it's time now to get it going. But I guess we'll see how Texas pans out in the end. Oklahoma State picks up a great win on the road against Baylor, 61-54. Handing Baylor their second loss. I think believe it was two straight losses.
You're just gonna skip over Rutgers, Maryland?
Did I miss that game?
You did.
Well, after they lost to Penn State, I feel like it didn't really need to be mentioned.
Well, I disagree.
Rutgers picked up a nice win on the road.
Has been decent in Big Ten play besides that one loss.
They've been
Rutgers
nice.
Rutgers is
they've
like
been
fourth
nice.
Or fifth in the Big Ten right now.
I know they are, but their overall resume stinks. But, you know, they've
stinks.
Been nice.
They beat the number one team in the nation.
It doesn't matter.
I think that their losses to NJIT and Ui Pui or whoever the hell they lost to.
You can't make it up. No. They have not lost to Ui Pui. I will not let misinformation be spread on this podcast.
Oh, okay, but they
I'm
have
saying,
had some nice
like,
wins.
Rutgers, yeah, sure, they're playing
the
outside of the bubble right now.
But their Big Ten resume is
definitely
nice.
Definitely on the outside of the bubble.
I agree, but just wait till March.
They're
just
Big Ten. March. I agree. I want to see Ron Harper.
Wait till March.
Ron Harper's having an excellent year.
Excellent.
You're happy. So you're lucky Cliff. That came out of my mouth. Excellent year
Cliff
for Ron Harper.
Cliff is having a great year, too.
Cliff, yes, I agree. Excellent.
Gio can't say the same.
It is what it is.
Better than J-Bo.
Team game. Well, J-Bo, yeah. J-Bo is the
Luke's not here to argue with that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll give you that one.
Yeah, Luke. LeBron's there's insane. No one disagrees.
And just to think that you guys, you know, have just slandered him, even made fun of his body, calling him fat, saying he has man boobs. Are we serious?
Who said that?
One of you guys. At some point it was said. He is a chunky guy. That's just a fact. I don't know what to say. Maybe it was Alex, honestly. And Alex refuses to admit that he's ever said anything derogatory about Ron Harper Jr. And it's a bold-faced lie.
I said he was the best player on Rutgers.
Alex, it's just, once again, I just can't let you just keep spreading lies. You had not been consistent with that. Really, ever, until he started playing good, and then you're like, I haven't seen it.
Okay,
all
well, it's easy for me to say the second best player is Cliff. It's not Gio.
Right now, it's Cliff.
That's fact.
I think, can we move on to the more important game of Oklahoma State beating Baylor on the road? Obviously, that's a terrible loss for Baylor, but I mean, Oklahoma State is they're in A, not tournament eligible, and B, barely over 500. So Baylor is kind of. Falling off quickly here. I obviously falling off as in the last two games, but that's a bad skid to have to lose to Oklahoma State at home. I don't know about that.
Yeah,
that seems.
Yeah. Flagler and Akinjo, a smooth 2 of 18 from the floor combined. That's not going to get it done.
That is not going to get it done. Mississippi State at home defeats a weird Alabama team. Again, like, look at this. Yeah. Alabama, they can go out and compete with top teams in the country, and then they lose to Mississippi State. I don't really know what to think of them, if I'm being honest. It can go either way.
Virginia Tech beating Notre Dame.
Needs to be said. 79-73.
Let's get a quick check on Printest. What a Printest drop.
11. Ooh, 4 of 11. 4 of 11 from the field. Inefficient. 0 of 3 from 3. Classic Printest hub. Paul Atkinson is a stud, though, for Notre Dame. But you love to see
the
Justin
torch
Mutt.
Has been passed from Printest to Paul.
Justin Mutz for Virginia Tech, 24 points, 9 of 11. And this team had a Kevin Aluma, 17 points as well, but a great performance from Vatek. They are 9-7, though. Needs to be said.
Needs to be said.
New Mexico State, this team needs to be shouted out there.
Yes,
15. We have not said anything about them. They are 15-2 in WAC play. And I think they're number one.
Hashtag Waxion.
Hashtag Waxion. And the player to look out for in this conference is Teddy Allen. He had 41 points against Abilene Christian, 13 of 20 and 6-11 from three. Teddy Allen is having a nice year, averaging 19 points per game, 7 rebounds.
Transfer from Nebraska ball, right?
I believe that's correct, yeah. Too bad Nebraska ball can't hang on to good players.
Too bad they couldn't hang on to him and have him and Bryce McGowan's.
Yeah, Bryce McGowan's an NBA prospect. Unfortunate for them, but... Good pickup for New Mexico State, and watch out for them in the WAC. And the WAC's actually a good conference this year with SFA, Abilene Christian, Sam Houston State, and Grand Canyon University. So, solid conference.
Let's see if New Mexico State can actually win a game in March Madness, because they've gotten in about 12 times in the past 15 years and have not won one game. So,
maybe Teddy Allen.
Teddy
Allen can step up. We'll see.
Teddy Allen, let's hope that the lights aren't too bright. I don't think they will be, but let's hope they're not.
I don't think so. Houston barely squeaks by on the road against Tulsa, 66-64. If I had to guess, I'd guess that Houston were probably 18-point favorites in this game. And
they've been without Marcus.
11.5-point favorites, yeah.
I don't know what's up with Marcus Sasser, do you guys?
I don't know either, yeah. They haven't.
I don't think it's COVID. I think he must be injured.
But Kyler Edwards has stepped up to the plate in this game, finished with 29 points. If Marcus Sasser's out, he's their go-to scorer. And there's... honestly, really nobody else.
He filled the Marcus Sasser role because Marcus Sasser loves to shoot the ball, and that's exactly what Kyler
10 of 21, 7 of 15 from 3 with 29 points.
That's a Marcus Sasser
stat. That is an absolute Marcus Sasser stat line. I do have to agree with that. Auburn picks up a road win against Ole Miss, 80-71. UCLA beats Oregon State at home, 81-65. And then capping off the night, Oregon, another top 5 win on the road against USC. This is the game that Alex said to watch the money line on off air, obviously.
Shout out to my uncle if you're listening. He was in Vegas. I got you. The picks.
With the money line. Oregon money line.
Hammer Oregon.
That was a nice pick by Alex. And Oregon picks up a 10-point road win against USC. So Oregon's really coming to their own. Will Richardson, 28 points.
Have a game, Will Richardson.
Have a
he's
game.
He's a bucket getter.
He's a bucket getter, and he really hasn't. He's been off kind of this whole year, I feel like.
I don't know if I'd say
just not taking as many shots, maybe? Is that what it is? I don't really know, still shooting
47% from the floor, averaging 15 a game.
Fair.
But he's their guy. Will Richardson is the best player 100%. Oregon has, for sure. They need guys like Davion Harmon, transfer from Oklahoma, and then Jacob Young to step up alongside him.
Yep. And then that wraps up our games from Saturday. Moving into Sunday, Villanova defeats Butler bad, 82-42. Butler stinks. They're the worst, just about doubled. They're the worst in the Big East. That's just a fact.
Once again, next game, Penn State. They only lost to Ohio State by
five.
I'm not going to sit here and say I'm some huge Penn State fan, but they at least keep their games kind of close.
Yeah. That's fair. They're competitive at least, which is that's all you can ask for a team like Penn State.
A team led by John Harrar.
Yes. John Harrar. But
man, we're goofy.
It's getting into the slap happy hours.
Yeah.
It's now we move into Monday, January 17th.
I need to mention one team.
Oh God.
You mentioned New Mexico State. I'm going to mention Louisiana Tech. I think I mentioned them beginning of the year. They're now 15-3. One of the best young players in the country, Kenneth Lofton, averaging almost a double-double for Louisiana Tech. Don't sleep on them. I'll be picking them when they make it out of Conference USA in March.
I like that.
Kenneth Lofton is massive.
Dude, he's a stud. He played on like the U19 team or whatever for the Olympics.
He should be playing right tackle for Louisiana Tech.
Devontae Gardner. If you guys remember Devontae Gardner on Marquette.
He's literally like an O-lineman. Not
very tall. Great footwork down low. Will body anyone.
He's literally like an O-lineman. He's like close, probably 280, 290. He's a huge guy, 6'6", 6'7". And he's very, very agile, quick for his size. He's a guy to watch out for. I have seen highlights of him on social media, so watch out for Kenneth Lofton. Then moving into today, Monday, January 17th, Purdue picks up a great overtime win, as we mentioned earlier. Double overtime win on the road against Illinois, 96-88. I didn't get a chance to watch this game, unfortunately.
I did not either. Alex, I know you watched this game. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good game. The big takeaway from this one was Kofi Coburn only played 22 minutes, was in foul trouble the whole game.
Ended up fouling out.
And, yep, he fouled out, only played 22 minutes, 10 points, 5 boards. But, yeah, that's why Zach Edey was so dominant, 9 of 14 from the floor. Travion kind of had an off game, only 14 points. But Sasha was great in this one, and Andre Curbelo back for Illinois, and he played amazing.
Good to see him getting back into his group, because that's big for Illinois. That's very big for Illinois. I know they've got Plummer. I know they got other guys stepping up. But Curbelo's a really good facilitator, and I think Illinois needs him.
Yep, and he had zero turnovers in this game because we harped on him for turning the ball over way too much when he was healthy in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and last year as well, too. So, and Alfonso Plummer, 6-12 from three in this game. So impressive stuff from him. That's kind of been his thing all year. He's been a very efficient three-point shooter, so which is what Illinois kind of needed. Indiana picks up a road win against Nebraska ball. Good for them. Glad they didn't lose because that would have been an absolute terrible loss.
Nebraska ball looked okay today, actually.
You watched Indiana basketball?
I did.
Biggest takeaway. Go.
Biggest takeaway is Lat Mayan needs the ball in his hands more for Nebraska ball.
Okay. There we go. Good insight.
Watch out. Watch out, Mid-March Nation, for...
Were there any other games really tonight?
I don't think
so.
No. Nothing. Other than Notre Dame speaking out of winning against Howard.
Games to look forward to.
Yeah,
rapid fire, because tomorrow's slate's really good.
Yeah.
So we have Baylor at West Virginia. Baylor 6.5-point favorites in that game.
Give me West Virginia. Baylor loses 3 in a row.
Wow. See, I expect Baylor to bounce back, and I expect them to cover that line.
I expect Baylor to bounce back as well. I don't know about the line. I'm not going to give my opinion on that because I have no strong feelings. I have no strong feelings. I don't want to lead anybody astray.
Give me West Virginia.
We have Texas Tech at home against Iowa State. Texas Tech favored by 7.5. Are we serious? 7.5? That seems like a big line.
Give me Tortilla Nation.
Give me Iowa State. Give me the Cyclones of lame names.
This is tough. I think that Tortilla Nation, I expect them to win. But what you said, they're 7.5-point favorites?
Tortilla Nation is, yes.
Yeah, I expect them to win, but I expect Iowa State to cover that line.
Fair. That's actually solid. Wisconsin on the road against Northwestern. Please tell me they win that game.
Only 2-point favorites.
Yeah, I like Wisconsin covering that one.
That is
hammer down.
Hammer down on that
lock
one
of the
for
night
sure.
Tomorrow, UConn minus 13 at home against Butler. I think UConn blows them out. Butler just lost to 40.
Nova.
Butler reeks.
They do reek. They're the crap of the crap of the Big East.
Another good game, Kansas on the road against Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, that's a solid game as well.
I like Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though Oklahoma's a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that probably we can move into Wednesday for some rapid fire. Wednesday, LSU, Alabama. That'll be a good game. Is Alabama's 11-6, but they're at home and they're a good team, I'd say. So they're better than 11-6.
I'll go with Alabama in this game.
Really? I am too.
I'm gonna rock with them.
I'm rocking Alabama.
They rock two straight. They're facing the quote unquote one seed. Give me Bama.
I like LSU. Defense gonna be too much.
I like Alabama in this game as well. Villanova hosting Marquette on Wednesday, January 19th. Alex, thoughts? No line in this game.
I think Marquette keeps it close. I think they have a shot to win it at the end, and I think they get it done.
Give me Nova.
Give me Marquette.
Give me Nova.
Yeah, I'll take Nova as well.
And that pretty much
means wraps it up.
Yeah, no other big games from the Big East.
All right. Well, great podcast, guys. We hope to be back a little quicker than, what was it, a week and a half?
Yeah.
We keep saying that, but we're going to eventually find our groove here. It's been a little harder this year finding time, but till next time, this is Made in March.